Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts when the throne of life have pierced them till he bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love apart, just a very, very blessing that we need. Oh, yes, there's one. There's only one. Oh, blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. Oh, when affliction pressed the soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend, he's the one. If there's anyone can help us when the load is hard to bear and we faint and fall beneath it in alarm, who in tenderness will lift us and our heavy burden share, and support us with an everlasting arm. Oh, yes, there's one. There's only one. Oh, blessed Jesus, he's the one. Oh, when affliction pressed your soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend, Jesus, he's the one. Oh, church, I know there's one. There's only one. Oh, blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. Oh, when affliction pressed the soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, Jesus, he's the one.
Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to participate in genuine worship. Prayers that have been prayed, songs that have been sung, scriptures have been read, gifts have been given. But the song that has just been sung reminds us that you're the one. You do what no one else can do. You did where no one else could have done. You lay down your life that we may live both in time and in eternity. There are banks that may lend us money, doctors that may treat our illness, but it comes down to the destination as we leave this life. You're the only one. In our sin that will schedule us to the eternity of eternal punishment, you paid the price that we might continue to have life beyond what we've ever imagined. And I'm glad to know today that you are the one, you're the only one. And should there be anyone here today under the sound of my voice who may be dependent upon good luck or whatever it is, help them to understand today that you are the only way. You're the only truth, you're the only life. And I give you thanks and praise and heartfelt worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk today on the subject read of the young lady that read so clearly, so appropriately. Nehemiah 1:1-11, New Living Translation. Nehemiah was a person who really cared. He cared about the traditions of the past and the needs of the present. He cared about the hopes of the future. He cared about the heritage and the glory of God. In other words, he really cared. I like the song that says, "Does Jesus care when I'm oppressed? I know my Jesus cares. Does Jesus care when I'm distressed? I know my Jesus cares." My mother cared for me. My loving parents. My father cared for me. Thank God for that. But they had no power or ability to care for me like Jesus. I married a wife many years ago. I don't want to tell you how long it's been because you may think we're old. We ain't old. But I married a woman who cared for me. Of course, she appreciated I was handsome. And I was smart. All of that. But she cared for me because of who I was. And she cares for me now because of who I am. I have a daughter who cares for me. I have a son who cares for me because they know I care for them. I have a congregation that I really am convinced that people here care for me. But you can't care for me more than I care for you. I care for you when you're right. I care for you when you're wrong. There have been those that thought they were right and I was wrong. That's okay. But I continue to care for them. And I'm so glad that there are people who really do care for me. I know that. Your love is demonstrated, not verbally communicated. You know how folk can say a whole lot of good stuff, don't mean it. But I know that there are people in here who really care for me. I have many ways of describing it. Sometimes I preach some really good sermons. Sometimes they're pretty poor. Pitiful, but you didn't give up on me. There were times when I had to take a way off, didn't even feel like coming to church But you didn't try to find somebody to take over while I was gone. You care for me. And I thank God today with all of my heart. I woke up this morning, went to bed last night. I was just so happy, just rejoicing. Because God has been good to me. People have been good to me. But I woke up this morning feeling bad. After all that good, I stayed up last night. I was just feeling so good, so thankful, so happy. But I woke up feeling bad. But my mind was stayed on Jesus. My mind was stayed on worshiping and standing at this podium today and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he would die and had never done one thing wrong. But he died. Now keep in mind very carefully, he died so we could live after this life. That's why he died. That we could still live after this life. Our life may be short, our life may be long, but it doesn't compare to the life that he has waiting for us when this life is over. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. If you're not prepared for heaven, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Humble yourself and surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He came and did all that, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I won't get sick when I go to heaven. Ain't gonna get sad when I get to heaven. Ain't gonna have no problems to solve when I get to heaven. And you hear what I'm saying? I'm gonna get there because I made provision. 9 years old, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't know a whole lot about it, but I heard so much about it. I heard all this good news about what Jesus did. I said, I ain't waiting. I'm going to do it now. And I'm so glad I did. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but y'all don't mind, do you? Nehemiah was a person who really cared. He cared about the traditions of the past, the needs of the present. He cared about the hopes of the future. He cared about his heritage and the glory of Almighty God. When I completed my pastoral time at West End Baptist Church and accepted a position at St. Paul Baptist Church as pastor, I had to make some adjustments. When I became pastor of St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights, I really had to make some adjustments. I learned to respect the ways of Shively Heights members. To respect the ways of Shively Heights members. I didn't come here to change them. I had to respect the ways of St. Paul Baptist Church members. I had a responsibility. I didn't want you to try to be white, as black as you were. And I sure didn't want you who were white to try to get black as we are. You are what you are because God made you the way you were made. Can I get one witness? I had to compliment the ways of many members because there were members who were faithful in both congregations and who remained faithful. I thank God for that. I had to compliment them. I didn't try to change them or change St. Paul members, but I had to compliment them because you were wise enough and godly enough to show your love one for each other and to respect one another. One didn't try to choose the others, make the others be like them or vice versa. Because you were created by the plan of God and by the wisdom of God. But I had to correct the ways of some members. Now, I'm not talking about you, of course. But some folk had to be corrected. Because they were saying, have thine own way, but they meant have mine own way. And if you're guilty, you don't have to say anything. I had to do that. I had to adjust my preaching style. When I was at West End or St. Paul, I mean, I walked down the aisle preaching. You know where I walked all through, round by folk preaching? Loud. You know what I'm trying to say? But when I got here, I said, I better cool it. Make some adjustments. Amen. I had to adjust my preaching style. And I had to adjust my preaching time. Because I had Shavuot men looking at the clock. I don't mean no harm, y'all. I'm just telling it like it is. I had to adjust my preaching time. I used to preach a long time. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, one of the reasons why I kept preaching a long time, because folks said, amen, preach well. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I was where folk wanted it, man. I tell you the truth. And I know they liked it because I see sometimes when I wasn't there, I was getting ready to leave, go preach somewhere else, they get in that car and leave because they wanted that. You know, but I had to adjust that, adjust my preaching time. I had to adjust my preaching jokes and illustrations. I did not want to offend with these jokes and things to offend Shavuot Heights members. Because that was something that black folk were talking about. I had to adjust that. I watched before I gave any kind of statement like that. I didn't do that anymore. Because I want to encourage, to bless, inform, but I do not want to offend. You understand what I'm trying to say? If I want to be like Jesus, if I want to behave like him, I ought to let my light shine before people that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. It's not about my glory. Not about my pats on the back. Because of the one who loved me, died for me, paid my sin debt, and you mean to tell me that I don't want to trust and obey him? We are told to love one another despite the behavior. When I think of the condition of our church today, I weep. I pray to God for wisdom and for his solution to our problem. Many of our members have passed away. Many. Many of our members have passed away. And I'm talking about really good members. Members that paid their tithes, carried out their responsibilities, showed their love for God and love for one another. But they're gone on rejoicing in heaven. And they are truly missed. They paid their tithe. They gave their time. And I can never forget them, get them out of my mind. Now, y'all know that that's not what everybody does. Many of them passed away. Many of them have gone away. There was a time when these pews were full, with members who shouted, said amen, joined the church. But you look up and they're missing. They're gone away. Many of our members are home or hospital disabled, and in hospitals or nursing homes, disabled. They can't be here. They would love to be here. I see one sister out there, and I was just so glad to see her, while her sister can't be here. But she is still faithful. You know, I woke up this morning feeling really bad. I was sick. But I got up here now, I feel better. Many members Many of the members, there's one person that I know of, Wilma Hatt, sends her money. She's homebound. But she sends her tithe to this church every time. At home, not able to come. I used to tease her about her pretty hair, where she had her hair. And I also liked the way she wrote her check. Some members don't really obey the commands of God. I'm just preaching, that's all I'm doing. They don't study the Word of God, because we have 87 last Sunday in Sunday school, 86 last Sunday, 87 this time, or something. One. They don't come and study the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can you do that without studying the word of God? Breaks my heart. Some don't pray. You call on altar prayers. Some will pray something. That's okay. That's all right. But a whole lot of them don't tithe. They give God whatever they want to give. And yet the Word of God said, bring you all of the tithe into the storehouse and prove to me herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. I stand here as a witness. God will open doors. I became a pastor, West End Baptist Church. My wife and I, we didn't have no money much, but we paid our tithe. I learned my lesson, but one time I got pretty good income, and I decided I wasn't going to pay tithe that day. I said, that's just too much. That's early on, way back. And I was taking Sonny's grandmother, I think it was his grandmother, home, and this blue light came on, pulled me over, and gave me a ticket. I think it cost me like $15 or $20. That's what I should have put in tithe. From that point on, I've always paid my tithe. And I'm telling you, I got opportunities to work for the Kentucky Baptist Convention, for the Black State Convention, working for a pastor in a church and all that, all of these different doors and opportunities. And my wife and I are able to pay our bills. He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not rumor of. What that means is, I had to turn down opportunities to preach. I'm promising you. And I hate to see people not trust God. I just hate to see that. I don't beg for money, but I sure do like to give money. Because God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells in it. And my God will never promise you something he won't keep up. Despite all these conditions, that weakens us as a congregation of God's people. God is still blessing us. I don't really know how many members of our church are concerned as I am. I want to tell you how I do feel and how concerned I really am. I share the feelings of Nehemiah felt and what he did. He cared enough to ask. When he found out the conditions of his people in Israel, he asked his superior, the one that was in charge. He asked him, he cared enough to ask, will you allow me to leave to go and take care of my people, see what I can do to help my people? He cared enough. He cared about the conditions of the people where he was. His heart was broken because of his conditions of his people. My heart is troubled by the conditions of our society right now. People are being killed every day. People are being outdoors every day. Many people are going through difficulties and dangers and doubt and all sorts of things, hospitalized, sick, all of this. I have a concern for all of that. And I would to God that people would show more love and demonstrate more concern and care for the world around us. I pray every day of my life, and I pray for the people in my community. I pray for my people in government. I pray for people. My heart burns for that. So many people that are drunk and so many people that are on every kind of drug and all kinds of stuff. It troubles me. Many will never come to know God and will spend an eternity in a place where there's punishment beyond our ability to accept. He cared enough to ask. I thank him, Nehemiah. He cared enough to weep because he was heartbroken about this. But I like this part, and I want to read the scripture. He cared enough to pray. Lord have mercy. I want to read this part. It was well read by the young lady that read. But here's what he said. I'm going to start with verse 6. He said to the Lord, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. And here's what he says. Nehemiah says this. I confess that we have sinned against you. That's what Nehemiah said. He's concerned about his people, but he said, I'm not going to tell you how bad they are. But here I am with a good job. I'm the wine taster. I taste the food to make sure no poison is in it. I'm paid well, and I don't have no hard work to do, just taste food and taste drinks to make sure he doesn't get, you know, some kind of poison. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. Now, I recognize that, please know this, all have sinned. That means me. I'm up here preaching, but I have sinned. I have not been perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but aren't you glad he's a merciful God? Aren't you glad he'll forgive sin and still love you? He says, we have terribly, by not obeying the commands, the decrees, and the regulation that you gave us through your servant Moses. And we have people in the congregation, in the church, that have not done what God would have us do. Walking around with pride. I'm cool. When you ought to be convicted. God loved us so much that he would send his son to die. But he also loved us so much that he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us the power as we have in our Sunday school lesson. The third person in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus died, paid our sin debt, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. What more do you want from God? You know, I'm blessed. I can tell you my mother loved me, my father loved me, my wife loved me. I know. He says, and here's what he says. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. Here's what you told your servant Moses. And Nehemiah is saying this. If you were unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nation. Listen to me, please. But if you return to me and obey my commandments and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the end of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be great power and strong hand on your servants. And then he closes by saying, Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me, put it into his heart to be kind to me. Amazing text. Well, I cared enough to pray, and I care enough to pray. He cared enough to volunteer in verse 11. I read again. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. That's my prayer. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me the success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. He cared enough to volunteer. It is said that prayer is not getting man's will done on earth. However, for getting God's will done on earth, he needs people to be available to him to use. Can God use you? Is God using you? Are you just trying to use God? I'm glad today that God has used me. All of these years that I have pastored churches and served in denominational work in both Kentucky Baptist Convention and the Black State Convention, I rejoice in that. God saw fit to use me. Use me, Lord, to your glory. Use me, Lord. I may not be much, but I will give you the best that I have. Use me, Lord. Because you have been all throughout my life. You've been the way, you've been the truth, and you have been the life. And I'm so glad when I was 9 years old, I heard the voice. I ain't gonna try to sing it. Of Jesus saying, Come unto me and rest. Lie down, thou weary one, lie down, thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus. Little 9-year-old boy. Didn't have a dime in my pocket, didn't have anything in the house much, but I came to Jesus just like I was, weary, worn, and sad. But over my pilgrimage, I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. On Wednesday, I will be retiring. On Wednesday, I would have served as pastor of St. Paul Baptist Church in Shavla Heights. I will retire. on Wednesday. Now, I did not say I was leaving. So don't get too happy. I ain't going nowhere. But I'm retiring. It's time for the church to find another pastor who has more energy and perhaps better preaching. But I'm retiring as of Wednesday. We'll have a birthday on Saturday coming up. Y'all can sing happy birthday for me Wednesday if you want to. But I'm retiring on Wednesday. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here. I'll be here to do whatever I'm asked to do. The search committee has already been selected, and I'm going to get out of the way so they can go to work. It had been noise that Middleton is coming to be the pastor. Where y'all get that from? Now, how did that get out? We ain't had no kind of vote. Ain't nobody agreed. So you think he's just going to come on in here and be the pastor and ain't nobody asked him to? Don't listen to a whole lot of stuff folk are saying. It's in the hand of the search committee. Let them do their search. Okay? Now, can I say a prayer and sit down? Lord, you know how much I love this church. How much I love these wonderful people. And you know how much I want the very best for everyone. And I pray, Lord, that they will be like Nehemiah. He went to work. The last part of the message says, and I really like that part of the message, he said that he was ready. I'm so thankful for that. And he said, oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to my prayers of those who delight in honoring you. I know there's some people in here, Lord, that honor you, really honor you in their gifts and in their giving, talents, abilities, and all that makes them who they are. They love you, Lord, and I pray for them, and I pray for all who may not have stepped up at this point, but I pray that they will in due time. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing for our opening invitation? Doors of the church are open. If you are here without a church home, this is a lovely church. It is a loving church. If you need prayer, we invite you to come.